everybody. I'm Sean Reynolds from Sports. I'm about to be joined by Ken Weeb from the Winnipeg Free Press. Together we are Kenny and Rennie. This is the Kenny and Rennie the Kenny and Rennie playoff preview extravaganza. And what makes it an extravaganza? Well, I guess we're just going to have to stick around and find out. One of those is things that makes it an extravaganza. I think extravaganzas have to have good music. We're going to have a lot of good music to play because I'm about to bring in the man with the best music in the business. We could always put a headband on. That comes with some music. And we're also going to be joined by Scott Billick and Jeff Hamilton because we love doing that. We love getting a lot of different people out here, a lot of different perspectives. And of course, everyone has fun with their bracketology, and it's always good to have bragging rights to see who ended up with the most correct takes. So bringing in all four of them, including myself, to really, really dig into this, we'll start in the East. We'll work our way West, ending on the Jets. Why? Because this is how broadcast works, folks. You make people wait for the good stuff. We know you want to hear about the Jets, so we're going to get in here and we're going to talk Jets, but you're going to have to wait. You're going to have to be patient. That's the way it's going to be. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, time to bring in the man with the best music in the business. Here comes Kenny. Man, oh man, Kenny, folks like Stephen Balter here is trying to multitask or whatever he's doing, had to get two phones going on so we can still watch the marble race on WST. It's one of those times where it's like everything's happening, and why don't we make sure it seems like everything's happening? You know, just blow the senses right up because I'm going to bring in Scott Billick. You got something to say?
I'll be right back. Sorry.
Okay, don't worry. I'm going to bring in Scott Billick here right now. Maybe we can play Ken's music twice. But time to bring in the man with also some of the best music in the business. Here's Scotty Billick, folks. Boy, you dancing with Adam Lowry has really aged well, hasn't it? The captain of the Winnipeg Jets. Good stuff. Scotty, I get you here because A, we love your takes. B, we love your picks. And C, you're more reliable than a guy like Ken Weeb, who just kind of bails out whenever it pleases him. We're going to bring him back in here soon. But you know what? I always wanted to try something. I wanted to try this show with everybody except for Ken Weeb. So let's get ready and do that because I see that Jeff Hamilton is waiting in the green room. Time to bring in another one of the folks with the best music in the business. Ladies and gentlemen, if he can find a way to sit down, maybe he went to the other room. Everything is happening here and it's not exactly happening in the best way here, Scotty. But hey, folks, it is time to bring in the hammer. Bring in the hammer. Holy smokes, music flying everywhere. Hey,
How does one follow up Scotty's video? Never mind.
We can try and do our best, and we're going to try and do it here right now because let's get the music portion of this show done and complete the this is not the hat trick. What do you call four goals in one game? I don't know. The hat trick plus one. Let's make it a hat trick plus one and turn this into a Sean's headband version of the Kenny and Rennie playoff preview extravaganza. We'll be right back. That is a heck of a cross section of Tristan Rivers music. I don't think we've ever done that before on the show. Played it back to back to back to back like that. That is absolute gold. Thanks again to Tristan Rivers, who just actually making it's the one of the secret sauces of this show, the juice that makes it flow. As are you two gentlemen who have been there since the beginning with this show. It's always great to welcome you guys back. And I always love doing these playoff previews. I know I'm trying to think of past winners from past years. Scotty, I know that you won the playoffs one year on this show. I think you edged me out by one series. I don't remember a lot of the other years. And I can tell you that probably means I've never won, because listen, I would never forget something like my success and trying to hang it over you guys like that. So I don't think I've won this. So maybe this is my year. We should get into it. I'm going to start in the East, because let's keep people around till the end. I've been waiting for the Jets. Start out, always feels like we have a lot of time on this show. We never really do. Never. So let's start out in the East, and we're going to get going here. Hammy, I'll start with you. You can go to Scotty after that. But give me your ideas, your breakdown, and this is like, I don't need it to be quick. You can give me your reasons why you think what's going to happen is going to play out, what the strengths, weaknesses of either team are. But Hammy, I want you to get going. Start out with the New York Rangers and the Washington Capitals, who somewhat backed into the playoffs, were given a pass on the way in there. I don't know how you want to look at it, but what do you see coming in that series?
What does your Sportsnet colleague Elliot Friedman refer to it as? The turtle something?
Turtle derby. Turtle derby.
It's different, though. It's not turtle derby. It's something else. It's a different one. But anyways, that's just a precursor into my thought about, the wagon that is the New York Rangers. I love the depth on the New York Rangers. I love what they did at the deadline, what they didn't do at the deadline. They didn't go too crazy, but they – to me, this is a deep team. This is a team that has, special teams working for them. They have goaltending for the most part, for sure, obviously. They have defense. They got a deep forward group. They just have that depth, much like we'll talk about other teams, like the Winnipeg Jets have depth, like the Dallas Stars have depth. This is a team that I just think is going to steamroll the Washington Capitals. Like, I was watching the Capitals' pursuit of a playoff spot down the stretch. And I'm not saying that they didn't carve out some victories or, clearly did enough to squeeze in, but I think they got a lot of help from their East counterparts that were also chasing for them. And I just, you look at that team, the Washington Capitals just look tired. They just look like they're, I don't know what it is. I've been focusing on them the last month and a bit here. And I just, Ovechkin aside, it almost kind of felt like for a time there, it was more about Ovechkin trying to stay on pace with those goals than it was about that team, pursuing a playoff spot. And just the way that the New York Rangers are firing right now, the depth that they have, again, the special teams, like, I'm going to sound like a broken record here. I'm sure there's a lot of guys will probably jump on those similar things. I think this might be one of the easier series to predict, and I see it in no more than I want to say no more than five, but I see it as five for the New York Rangers in this one.
Scotty, what are you thinking?
Yeah, this one might actually be a sweep. I mean, it's hard to look past like the fact that they got Panarin and Trocheck, and Alex Wenberg was a great addition at the deadline for them. They got Chris Kreider. I mean, Jack Rossovic's playing. I don't know if he's going to be playing well or not, but Adam Fox, Jake Trouba, and then Shesterkin between the pipes. Charlie Lindgren has done an incredible job with Washington. This is the only reason why they're in the playoffs, in my opinion, because, Ovi wasn't very good most of the year. They don't have Kuznetsov anymore. But I think this one might be one of the easiest ones to predict. And I'll go with the sweep in that one. Let's keep it short and sweet on that series.
Very, yeah. Hey, it's always bold when someone picks the sweep, but if maybe less bold than a 1-8 series, but I still like it. I still like that. Ken, what do you got in that series?
Yeah, I mean, Rangers in five is probably going to work, but it's also a classic. Like, whenever this is also, history has shown us that when everything looks obvious, that sometimes maybe that is the team that has the ridiculous upset, right? Like last year, where Boston was the team with the best record of all time, and they lost in seven. I mean, I don't see that happening here. I think Lindgren has been fantastic for the Capitals, as Scotty pointed out. But to me, this is a classic case of, you know, sometimes you get on the magic carpet ride and you don't get off until the Stanley Cup final. To me, I'm with Jeff here. I think the Caps are running on fumes and the Rangers are just too deep. And again, for whatever they thought about Shesterkin earlier on in the year when he was struggling on his game completely, they've got ample depth, they've got ample scoring, and, you know, they have a legit, you know, Hart Trophy candidate in Artemi Panarin. So I'm going to go Rangers in five, but the Caps are also a team that plays the Rangers tough. I don't think this is a blowout series. I just think it'll be over quickly.
Mm-hmm. So what do you got? Sorry.
Five.
Rangers in five. The Rangers, I don't know that I have as much faith as everyone else has in the Rangers. Now, that doesn't extend to this series. I guess I'm just looking ahead to see what I'm seeing from this team. They looked to be, both times that the Jets played them, to be quite vulnerable to a team that can grind them the way that the Jets did. Now, if we remember at the first game of the year that the Jets played the Rangers kind of pulled a Houdini act, scored late, sent it into overtime, and ended up winning that game. And then this last game that we saw between the Jets, you know, who were coming in actually playing a little bit off, seemed to elevate. We all got excited about that game. And then it was followed up by the Jets kind of falling apart for a stretch of hockey after that. But the Rangers look to me like a team that can, you know, and Chris Kreider was almost like always like the ultimate playoff grinder for a long time, and maybe he'll get back to that, right? Let's be honest. If we're really, really being honest, we all watch a lot of hockey, but do we watch so much hockey that we can say about a specific player like Chris Kreider, where he's at in his game completely and totally, right? And we all know that when we talk to other people about the Jets, people from outside markets will come in with their impressions, and you'll be like, well, actually, that's not quite right. This is actually happening. So it's always tricky with this. It's my way of saying, though, that from an outsider's perspective and the times that I've tuned in to see the New York Rangers, I think that they play a really good regular season brand of hockey. I'm not so sure it's going to translate to the playoffs. We'll see how that goes. That said, I've got complete and total faith that they'll get out of this first round. The Washington Capitals, Jeff, you nailed it when you were talking about that. Sometimes it seemed like it was more about the Ovechkin goal scoring race. It at times had that feel that the San Jose Sharks had last year, where their games were about getting Erik Karlsson points and had nothing to do with playing anything that resembled a proper brand of hockey.
Is their like ultimate weapon on offense. If you look, he's one of the few guys that's scoring on that team. So it might be that as well. But yeah, certainly.
Yeah, no doubt. And I wouldn't say that they were as deficient as that other team was, but this has a little bit of that feel of, I don't know if that scenario wouldn't have happened with Philadelphia, if this would have been the team that would have made the playoffs. And down the stretch, had they lost in overtime to Philadelphia, had that goalie not been pulled, maybe you're seeing, well, you would have seen the Detroit Red Wings find their way in. And I don't have a lot of faith in the Detroit Red Wings, but the Detroit Red Wings were at least a team that was pulling off miracles to get into the playoffs, maybe similar to what we saw, or maybe the miracle was more the collapse of Pittsburgh last year, but the kind of miracle fashion in which Florida made the playoffs and then went on a little bit of a run. I would have seen momentum and maybe thought this series was a little bit closer had that been the case. This is like the ultimate backing into the playoffs for me when it comes to the Washington Capitals down the stretch here. So I'm going to be bold alongside Scotty Billick, and I'm going to go New York Rangers in four. It's a pretty clean sweep for all of us here, which brings us to the next series, and a team that can be confounding in the playoffs in the Carolina Hurricanes, and a team that I went and looked at their record down the stretch, because at one time the New York Rangers were really in the thick of it as those teams that it wasn't looking too good about them making the playoffs. They ended up making it fairly handily. And if you want to go look at their record over their last 15 games or so, that's the explanation why I think people are sleeping on how hot the New York Islanders are going into the playoffs right now. Scotty, what are you seeing in a series of a team that in fairly recent history, although the lineup has changed a little bit, but the New York Islanders have been a team who have ground their way to success in the playoffs in the past, have a new coach, look somewhat resurgent against the Carolina Hurricanes team. A lot of people are actually picking to win the Stanley Cup, but have a lot to prove in the playoffs as an organization.
They do. You're right. 100% they do. I see the same from them. I mean, the Islanders did a really good job down the stretch, but go ahead and look at the Carolina Hurricanes down the stretch too. They got Freddie Anderson back on 13 of his 15 starts after coming back, 932 save percentage, less than two goals against average, playing unbelievable hockey. They have the best defense, in my opinion, in hockey. They have probably, in my opinion, the best defender in hockey in Jacob Slavin. Kenny knows I'm pretty high on Slavin and the Hurricanes and their defense. And they made some really good pickups at the deadline. Like Jake Gensel's a huge pickup for a team that has often had a tough time scoring, right? Like the one thing about Carolina Hurricanes, they've had great defense, pretty good goaltending, but scoring in the end has been sort of their downfall. Now they got Gensel, they got Kuznetsov in there now. Svechnikov isn't hurt going into this year's playoffs, so they're not worried about that. And I'm with you. I mean, I'm with. They're going to be coming out of the East, in my opinion. I think they did the perfect blend on that team, and so I like the Bruins still. I think the Bruins are going to go far as well, but I think the buck will stop with the Hurricanes. And give me the Hurricanes in five in this one, Sean. Because
okay,
I just don't believe that the Islanders are as good. I mean, the gap between them is like 22 points, I think. Between them, like, I mean, Islanders are playing well, but the Islanders aren't a Stanley Cup contender. They can play well down the stretch. It doesn't really matter. Like, I mean, I think Carolina is the team right now in the East to beat. And they only got better at the trade deadline, and it wasn't just around the edges. They got in a 30 some odd goal scorer and canceled them. And we know, I mean, if Kuznetsov can pick it up, he was unbelievable on their run to the Stanley Cup in 2018 there. So yeah, I'm all in on Carolina this year, and I think they have just as good a chance as the Dallas Stars in the West.
Okay. Ooh, Carolina, so yeah, five. Scotty, yeah. Hammy, what do you got?
We're not going to go in the circle here. Like, you're just going to, we're going to go.
No,
back.
No, we'll just, hey, just guys, all you need to know is I'm the
boss.
Saw
Kenny,
and when
ready
I say
to go.
Your
Kenny
name,
had a thought in his mind, and he was ready to go. I'm with Scotty. I think that this is going to be a Carolina dominated series. I'm just not convinced it's going to end in five. I think this is going to be one of those annoying ones where the Islanders try to bore, you know, the Hurricanes in this situation. I think with Patrick Waugh now behind the bench there, there's a bit of a different attitude. I didn't like what the Islanders did in the last month of hockey, to be honest with you. I felt like they played some good hockey for sure, and they got victories. They just weren't convincing victories to me. I watched, for some reason, found myself watching a lot of Islander games where they would pull things out late. They kind of remind me of the Jets when the Jets aren't playing well, that inconsistency when it comes to scoring. You know, you'd want to see, you know, I think this is going to come down to, you know, goaltending. You know, like, Ilya Sorokin's going to have to play his lights out. I really love what the Carolina Hurricanes are doing. I mean, Seth Jarvis, Winnipegger, has been doing incredible work. Him on that top line, as Scotty mentioned, Jake Gensel, like those guys, they're having, this team is having guys that are having career years, and then they added a guy like Jake Gensel into the mix. The defense is incredibly solid. You know, you look at goaltending, and, you know, you probably have to give it to, even though, you know, as Scotty mentioned, Frederick Anderson has been good coming back. You know, maybe the edge goes to Islanders there, but I think that's where it stops. I just think with the team that they've assembled, the coaching they have in Carolina, this feels like the year. I don't think, remind me, guys, if I'm incorrect here, it didn't cost them a first-round pick to get Jake Gensel this year. They've been reluctant to give up that first-round pick, and this year they still were able to add a big scorer. So I just think you look at how this team is built in the Carolina Hurricanes, and you look at, I think where the Islanders is going to come back to bite them is, I think they've been playing playoff hockey for far too long. I think it's been an extreme mental exercise for them for much of March and all of April, as they've kind of taken one step forward, two steps back, two step forwards, one step back, as they've fought for that, you know. And what did they finish? They end up finishing not even in the wild. They didn't finish in one of the wild cards, did they? They end up getting third in there. Yeah. So like, it just, Islanders? It seems so weird. Yeah, it seems so weird where they were, you know, on the brink of things. And then, you know, it just felt like they didn't find any consistency. It always seemed like we were going back, like all the media availabilities with Patrick Waugh was, what's up with this team? Where is this consistency? And I just feel like they haven't been able to find that. And when you're against a team that in the Carolina Hurricanes, that even if you do punch them in the mouth, they're more than capable of rebounding and punching you back twice as hard. I think this is going to be, when it comes down to it, I think the Islanders have just been playing too much emotional hockey for too long. I have a annoyingly longer series in six games for the Carolina Hurricanes, who just couldn't quite get it done in five.
Yeah, for me, I respect Rod Brind'Amour a great deal. I love what that program has tried to become in the last little while, but I cannot get over the fact that they don't score enough when it counts. They have not for this entire block. Yes, I understand Svechnikov was hurt last year. Yes, I understand Jake Guentzel has helped remedy that situation. And to me, I just don't see it. This is an upset special for me. I could be completely wrong, and I don't know what it is. I bet against the Carolina Hurricanes a ton, even though, like I said, I love a lot of their players. I love Sebastian Aho. I love to watch him play. I love Jacob Slavin. Brett Pesce is excellent. I would have a small quibble with Scotty's suggestion that they're the best defense corps in the NHL. I think when healthy, Vegas probably still has that title, and getting Petrangelo back, I would, especially now with Hanifin in there. But yeah, I mean, they're darn great. But for me, there's always something off with Carolina. Freddie Anderson, yeah, he's been great since he's been hurt. Is he going to make it through the first round, let alone four rounds, Scotty? I mean, that's a big question mark for me.
Of course it is. But he's healthy right now.
That's why I'm not picking.
I can't bore tomorrow's problems for today, Kenny, though. Like,
I'm not asking you to. Now, I'm just saying
he's playing well. Also, just to correct you about scoring, they're the seventh most high scoring team in the league this year, Carol.
Tremendous. Not in the playoffs, scoring. They haven't been. I know. Great. Well, sure, they needed
they
to.
Haven't had and now they got to the show playoffs. It. They also didn't have Svechnikov last year. So yeah, I'm just saying.
They had all of their players. So, again, they could win the cup for me. I'm with you. They could win the cup for me. I don't have confidence to pick them as a Stanley Cup winner. Yeah. I love Seth Jarvis. I love the way he plays. He brings all of the qualities that every single team in the NHL would like to have in a top six player who's that young. But to me, for some reason, I find myself thinking this is one of those series. Like, there's always somebody you don't expect.
You could definitely go dark in this series too. That's the thing. I'm with you, Kenny. I think there's enough for these guys to go dark for sure.
But and that's my biggest concern for them. Now, the biggest thing for Carolina that works to their benefit, even when they struggle to score, their system is fantastic in terms of, repressing or suppressing shots. So that should help them. But for some reason, the Islanders are one of these crazy teams that you don't expect much out of them. And then you look up and like, how are they in the conference final? Now, I'm not expecting them to go to the conference final, but they're a team that in a small sample size dosage in the first round where wild things happen and chaos reigns supreme, that I could see them pulling an upset here. And maybe part of the reason why, guys, I'm at Hockey for All Center. In 2010, I think, I saw Matt Barzal play against Adam Brooks in the final of the AAA Bantam Championship. Sean, I know how much you value Matt Barzal's game.
Yeah.
Since Patrick Waugh has come in, Barzal's a different player. To me, I think that Barzal is going to outshine Aho and Guentzel and Svechnikov and all the people that have to shine for Carolina in order for them to do well in advance. 2012-5 under Patrick Waugh, he's done the unconventional thing of playing with their season on the line. He's playing Sergei Varlamov instead of Igor or Sorokin, Ilya Sorokin. Whoa, who would have had that on the bingo card, right?
Yeah.
Sorry. Anyways, I am somehow picking, and I may regret it, but I'm taking the Islanders in seven.
New York Islanders in seven. Like very bold.
Kenny with the first bold take. I love it.
I honestly think each of you have absolutely nailed your arguments on this. This is one of those times where every single one of you, I think, is completely and totally right. And like there's no wrong answers in this one. We're not going to know what the right answer is until it's all said and done. Because Barzal, like Ken had said, I'm a big believer that Matt Barzal and Barry Trotz is the guy behind this. Matt Barzal is a guy who is a superstar, who's got the capabilities of being an offensive superstar, but got a real good crash course early and young in the kind of hockey you need to play to succeed in the playoffs. And I honestly take a look at this series and think, I don't know that there's a guy on, you know, maybe Jake Gensel's that guy because he's been there to the cup before, right? But he was never that guy. He was the guy who played behind those guys, behind the Malkins and the Crosbys. So I do think you can potentially, well, you can give the nod to the Islanders when it comes to goaltending. Goaltending is something that could steal this series and could frustrate a team that, you know, in the Carolina Hurricanes has struggled to score in the playoffs in the past, and it gets in their heads and then they fall apart, because that's been this team. And we kind of saw it twice against the Jets this year. We saw the Jets flummox this team and the lack of composure that can kind of come out in this Carolina Hurricanes team. And it's hard for me to bet on that team when that team is the one that year after year is basically, to me, like the new age San Jose Sharks. Remember all those years, guys, the San Jose Sharks just dominated in the regular season, and this was going to be their year in the playoffs, and that year just never arrived because something, either another team stepped up or they kind of crumbled. Carolina, I think, has crumbled more than other teams having stepped up, and it's one of those things, like, until you show me, I'm not sure that I can believe you. All that said, Seth Jarvis coming up the way that he has, there's a lot of internal growth that helps there. Svechnikov is another player. He's playing on, what is it, the third line
third
that he's
line,
playing on
line,
right now with them. They've got, this is a little bit of, with not quite as much grind, but with the capability to play Brind'Amour hockey, this is a team that is constructed a lot like the Jets. Two scoring lines. I've got a little bit of a beef that Jesperi Kotkaniemi is their second line center, but the fact that Teuvo Teravainen is on that line and Natchez is on that line, it kind of helps me solve that problem a little bit. But they've got a third line that can erase other teams' top line. So Jordan Staal is going to get a healthy dose of Matt Barzal.
Yeah.
Matt Barzal's got to do that against that line. And the rest of these lines, they're pretty deep. They've got good defense. To me, their goaltending has kind of been somewhat... I want so badly to go with Ken and have a gut feeling that the New York Islanders can do something in this series. But analytically, I take a look at this. The Carolina Hurricanes, for the first time, went out and seemed to actively try to solve the issues that have been plaguing this team, and doing so at the trade deadline this year, which means I think that the Carolina Hurricanes are going to win out in this series. But I do think that the New York Islanders are going to give them a run for their money, and it's going to be a little bit tough, and we may not see the Carolina Hurricanes fall to the New York Islanders, but I could see the New York Islanders planting that seed of doubt in Carolina's head that costs them in the next round. Regardless, I'm going to go with the Carolina Hurricanes in six, which has us moving on to the next series. Let's go with the Boston Bruins and the Leafs. And I guess since we're through two and we got six more to go, one of them being the Jets, we should probably try and pick it up here. And I'm talking to myself probably more than I'm talking to you guys here. But let's go Leafs and Bruins and start with you, Ken.
Yeah, for me, the art of learning from your playoff losses is going to play a heavy role in this. And sure, that could apply to both teams. For me, I think the Boston Bruins are a completely different team than they were last year. We know that in terms of roster, with not having Patrice Bergeron and David Krejci as their 1-2 down the middle. But somehow, Jim Montgomery has pushed the Boston Bruins to a position where they were battling for the Atlantic Division title all year long, despite losing both of those players and all the talk that how would the Bruins survive and, you know, where is the offense going to come from? They play such a sound structural game. They've got an excellent tandem in net. Honestly, the biggest challenge for Jim Montgomery, guys, might be who's starting game one and two. Are you going to keep rotating? Are you hitching your wagon to one guy? Last year, Ullmark got hurt, and they probably made the change too late. So, to me, I like the Bruins in this series. I don't think the Leafs are a pushover by any stretch, but I still don't think they address the needs on the back end the way that they would like to. And right now, I mean, everyone was singing the praises when Big Willie Styles got the big extension. Well, time for Big Willie Styles to show up in the Stanley Cup playoffs. I know he was good last year, but you got a big ticket. Time to show up in the playoffs and do more than win one round. And again, Austin Matthews had just a tremendous season, guys.
like Hart worthy in almost every other year. And not that he isn't worthy in this one, but it's hard to put him at the top of the ballot given the competition. To me, I'm taking the Bruins in six, but I see overtime being at least two of those games. And again, I wouldn't be surprised if Toronto won. I just can't bank on the goaltending unknown here with the uncertainty between Ilya Samsonov and Joseph Woll. I mean, I'm sorry. In December, or whatever it was, January, people thought Samsonov should never play another game for the Leafs. Now he's riding in game one. That's a testament to his battle back. But I don't know. I'm sorry. Against the Bruins goaltenders, I have a hard time picking the Leafs in this one.
You're up, Scotty.
Yeah.
Oh, what? How many games? How many games, Ken?
Six.
Boston and how many? Six. Okay.
Ken. Yeah, I mean, Boston in six as well. Yeah, I got Boston in six as well. I don't believe the Leafs, and I never will until they actually do something, right? They got over that first round hump last year and then laid an egg in the second round. They don't have the goaltending, as Kenny said. Ilya Samsonov is coming into this series with an .890 save percentage. He's worse than Alexander Georgiev, right? Like, I mean, he has a worse – yeah, like, I don't believe they have it. They have all of the offense in the world, and full credit to Austin Matthews. He's really good defensively. Mitch Marner, same thing too. But I look at their blue line and I'm like, it's not getting it done. There's nothing on the outside of Morgan Riley. I'm like, wow, like they're going to shut down the Boston Bruins. And the Boston Bruins, and to Kenny's point about like the Boston Bruins are a lifestyle. Like when you play for that team, like there's a certain way that you have to conduct yourself. There's a certain way that you have to play. And so we're all surprised that like this team hasn't taken a bit of a dip without Bergeron or Krejci. You sort of look at that team and like that's like they're the culture that every team in this league would like to have. Because you can promote a guy like Pavel Zacha to your top line and have very little to any drop off in terms of the results. And so I look at the Boston Bruins and they have one of the most underrated defensemen in the league in Charlie McAvoy. Hampus Lindholm is very good. The Grzelcyk-Carlo combo is very good. And they got experience. They got Shattenkirk there, won a cup, obviously. A bunch of the Bruins guys, I mean, well, there's not a few of them, but they got Brad Marchand still there from the 2011 team. I like the way that the Bruins play, and I don't think that Toronto can handle the pressure that the Bruins bring. So Bruins in six for me.
Bruins six. What do you got, Hammy?
I got the Bruins in seven. I just think, you know, echoing much of what the guys said, I think the pressure is going to be too much. I think Jack Edwards announcing his retirement is good. I think he'll be calling more rounds than maybe people want. And I just look at it being too much for Toronto. It's just whether you want to call it a curse, however you want to classify it as, I think the Bruins are, you know, certainly I think it's going to come down to coaching. I think Montgomery's going to be putting in, you know, throwing everything at Toronto. And unless Toronto is able to score its way out of a tight checking Boston team, I just don't see it. I see Boston narrowing this one. I don't think Boston's quite the beast that they have been in the past, but I also think they're resilient. I think you're going to see some guys pop off in Boston. I think there's that, you know, that feeling of last year still hanging around. And then there's the animosity towards the Maple Leafs. You know, we made fun of Mark Scheifele, or people made fun of Mark Scheifele when they beat the Toronto Maple Leafs because, in that regular season game, because it seemed like a Stanley Cup win. The fact of the matter is everybody in every dressing room wants to beat the Toronto Maple Leafs. And I just, you know, you don't need any more added incentive to do so. And I just put the culture in Boston and the curse in Toronto. When you combine those two things, I think we're going to see a Boston Bruins game seven victory over another crushing upset first round loss for the Leafs fan base.
Boston in how many?
I got Boston in seven.
Boston in seven. I don't know by the end of this spiel, and I'm going to make it short because we're running out of time.
Who you have?
I will know who I have. I literally at this moment do not know, guys. That's how tight this is for me, because as good as you want to talk about the culture for the Bruins and all that kind of stuff, and the poor culture for the Leafs, I take a look at the lines here, and it's Pavel Zacha, Charlie Coyle, Morgan Geekie, and Jesper Boakvist. Those are the four centers for the Boston Bruins. And then you've got like a guy like Pasternak, and he's got Danton Heinen, you know, on the other side of his line, along with Pavel Zacha. And then you've got Brad Marchand, who's, you know, great player, fell off the point per game pace this year. He's on a line with Jake DeBrusk, great player. He's only got 40 points in 80 games this year. This team, we're talking about trouble scoring. This is a team that has trouble scoring outside of one guy in David Pastrnak, who has 110 points. The next closest guy is 67. I don't know what this team looks like if you can find a way to shut down David Pastrnak. It seems to me just like, and we'll get to it with the Colorado Avalanche, but if you shut down Nathan MacKinnon, I like your chances in that series. I'm not saying that the Leafs are the greatest shutdown team, but I think if you shut down David Pastrnak, it's going to be really, really hard for the Bruins to win this series. As good as their culture is, as much of a hot mess as the Toronto Maple Leafs are, I take a look. There's a lot of weapons on the Leafs. You just need one or two of them to wake up. If three or four or five of them wake up, then I think it gives a decided advantage in this series. I hate myself for saying this, you guys, because I know it's going to burn me, but I'm going to go with the Toronto Maple Leafs in seven games. Okay. Moving on. On to the final series there. Completely intriguing. We're going to start back with Scotty Billick as we go. And we do have to pick it up, guys, because we got to be out of here in 23 minutes. So as quick as we can, let's get through Florida and Tampa Bay.
Who?
Scotty.
You want me? Scotty. Sorry. Yeah. My bad. Florida. I want to say five, but I can't. So Florida in six. But I think Florida's just... Florida has supplanted Tampa as the best team in Florida. The Panthers have supplanted the Lightning as the best team in Florida. I'm not sold anymore on, like, the Lightning are good. Don't get me wrong. Kucherov's been amazing this year. But they sort of have that Pasternak thing too, where the next guy is, and now it's a little different. It's, you know, like Braden Point's it's not as far. They can still score, but, and I still like a little bit of their defense, but I just don't think Tampa's they're past their prime now. They won their two cups, and we've sort of seen them starting to fade away a little bit here. And here have come the Florida Panthers, who have an incredible defense right now. They shoot the puck like nobody else in the game. They got Tkachuk, who is going to be an absolute a-hole in the whole series and the whole playoffs. And I have Florida Panthers going to the Eastern Final. So, to me, I think Bob can do it. I have a real tough time with Bob. It pushes the shove. We saw it last year in the Stanley Cup final. But I think in the first couple of rounds, Bob will be part of the difference here. So, yeah, Florida in six for me.
Got to pick it up faster. What do you got, Hammy?
I don't know how Scott thinks it's so lopsided. I think it's going to be game seven. And I'm with you. I'm kind of feeling the vibe that you were last year, Sean. I have a team in my head, and I just don't know who I'm going to spit out. I'm taking Florida Panthers just because this is a game to win. I want to win at the end of this when all said and done. But you know, I think Scott makes a great point about Kucherov. He does provide a lot. Like, what is it? More than 50% of he's in on 50% of Tampa Bay's goals. I like what I've seen from Tampa Bay, but I just would not want to play the Florida Panthers in the first round. I think they're going to be physical. I think they're going to be tough. I think they're incredibly deep, but I would not underestimate Tampa at all. And this is a series that I wouldn't put money on. I just wouldn't bet on it because I just think Tampa Bay, if you know, I know Aaron Ekblad's coming back too. He'll be ready for game one, but you know, Vasilevskiy, if he can continue to be the player we've seen over this last little bit versus what we've seen throughout the season, I think that's the only chance they have. But I think Florida edges it in what will be a crazy battle in Florida.
Ken?
Yeah, I love, again, Sean, you and I were there that series of the Lightning, and that was kind of, I wouldn't say it was part of their undoing, but the Lightning just aren't as deep as they were. I mean, Jeff, you just said it. I mean, their top end is still fantastic. Kucherov is brilliant. Stamkos had a great year. Braden Point, tremendous. Brandon Hagel, great up-and-comer. Anthony Cirelli could do a great job in this series. But for me, my biggest concern is the Lightning defense core. It's that simple for me. The fact that they didn't get Hanifin and Vegas did, I mean, to me, that's a huge blow for the Lightning. So to me, I'm taking the Panthers in a tight series. I think it goes six. You know, Vasi probably steals one or two, or one maybe Kucherov steals another. And then we'll be talking about what's happening with Stamkos after that. And will he return? The crazy thing, the one of the craziest stories in the entire NHL this season, Sam Reinhart, first time to 50-plus and just about hit 60. UFA. Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, we know that there's talk about him staying, but, man, I mean, that's a big question mark going into the series. Matthew Tkachuk, hungry after getting to the final but not being able to play last year. Panthers and six. All-time quoter series also with Maurice and John Cooper, two of the best quotes in the NHL. Absolutely all-time. And there's going to be, let's just say there'll be some turbulence between those two during the series, I would imagine.
Good pull.
And we love it.
Hammy, Florida in seven, did you have?
I have Florida in seven, yeah.
Florida in seven. Okay, just to make sure I get this right. I'm going to try and get this as quick as I can. I've spent some conversations with people in the Tampa Bay Lightning organization. I know that they think that the Florida Panthers are the real deal. I think the Tampa Bay Lightning organization thinks that the Florida Panthers are the best team in the NHL this year. When you get that kind of mindset going on, I think it's tough to go up against. This, to me, in a very kind of Paul Maurice coached way, what I see from the Florida Panthers, a lot of what we saw from the talented Winnipeg Jets, a team that's very capable, who kind of turns it on and then goes to sleep and turns it on again. The Jets could never figure out how to turn it on at the right time. I wonder if Alexander Barkov and his leadership is the kind of leader that you need to allow that team to direct themselves at the right time. They figured out a way to do it last year. I've seen them do it through stretches of the year this year. They're completely deep. They're completely capable. If they play defensively, their depth, the way it is, Tampa Bay cannot handle it. The numbers tell us they shouldn't be able to stick in this series, which is why I have Florida winning it in five, which wraps up the Eastern Conference for us. Ooh. Let's start off with the Dallas Stars.
Nice and tidy five, Sean. Nice and tidy five games. Nice and
tidy five. So let's get to Dallas, and this is like an intriguing series. We're going to start with you on this one, Ken. Vegas Golden Knights and the Dallas Stars. What do you got here, Ken? This is a tough one.
What I've got is the most intriguing playoff series out there, with all due respect to the Battle of Florida and the series we will be covering, which will also be tremendous. Both teams could legitimately win the Stanley Cup. Both teams can make the claim for being the deepest team in the entire National Hockey League, but one of them is going home in 2 weeks or fewer. So to me, I love the matchup. Vegas will be tougher than they were, obviously, in losing game 82. I would have picked the Vegas Golden Knights against almost every single team in the National Hockey League, except I cannot pick them against the Dallas Stars, given how well the Stars are playing, how well Jake Oettinger is playing, and how healthy they are going into these playoffs. If Adin Hill were healthy, if we knew for sure what the Vegas Golden Knights were going to get out of Mark Stone, Alex Pietrangelo, and William Carrier, I would say Vegas in seven, but I will say Dallas in seven. But I think two or three of the games are going to overtime. I think it'll be an absolute war, and no matter what team advances, that team will have trouble winning the second round because of how tough the first round's going to be.
17 minutes to go here, guys. Hammy, what do you got?
I got the Dallas Stars in, and I think it's going to be six games. It's a tough pick. I think the Vegas Golden Knights they know how to handle the season. Mark Stone is practicing right now. It looks like he'll probably be available in that first round of the series. I just think Dallas is so deep. Up front, they're deep. On D, they're deep. Their goaltending is solid. It just takes a lot to penetrate this organization. I just can't see anyone beating them in four games. And I just think when it comes down to it, Vegas is karma is going to be against Vegas this time around with the cap circumcision, as Biz Nasty likes to call it. So I think this is the run to their end here, and I think it's going to be a contested battle. But Dallas, I think Dallas is just too deep.
Dallas and six. Ken, sorry, what did you have? What was your number?
Stars and seven.
Stars and seven. Okay, what do you got there, Scotty?
Dallas is the deepest team in the league. They have eight of their forwards have 20 or more goals. Yeah. And we used to think about, okay, Dallas is a team that couldn't score a lot of goals, but they were really good defensively. Now they have it all. They have it all. And I understand Jake Oettinger hasn't had the best year, but I don't care. I really want to take Dallas in five because I think they're that dominant this year. But I'll be a little bit more safe and take them in six.
I'm going to go with Dallas in, you guys talked about being bold. I'm going to go five. I'm going to go Dallas and five on this one. Just for the simple fact that I agree with you, Scott, I think that they are the most complete team in the NHL when you go forwards one through 12, when you go through defensemen one through six and goaltending. There really isn't a hole in this lineup. It's what and we'll get to this, what makes me so strongly believing in the Winnipeg Jets against the Colorado Avalanche is the weaknesses of the Colorado Avalanche are what the Jets can exploit. Those weaknesses don't exist with the Dallas Stars. They know who they are. They've had very good hockey so far this year. I honestly think they've got to where they've gotten to at this point and have kind of spent a very good chunk of the season in cruise control. I also always see a team in Dallas that knows how to snap to it at the right time. That's what I see them doing right now. And I just don't know from conversations that I've had within the Vegas Golden Knights organization that even they know if they're going to be able to snap to it. I think it's possible. And I'll tell you this, if the Vegas Golden Knights manage to knock off the Dallas Stars, look out, because Vegas will be back and you will be dealing with a team, the equivalent of the team that won the Stanley Cup last year. So if that's the path that the Winnipeg Jets are going one way or the other, you don't like what you see coming in the second round, but hey, that's the playoffs. You got to get through people like that. But to me, there's just too big of a question mark whether they can get it going. I've seen too many things that teams that aren't focused and aren't able to get their game under them do down the stretch for the Vegas Golden Knights, whereas the Dallas Stars, to me, again, in a good chunk of this season, sleepwalking, have been one of the best teams in the NHL. When they get focused, and I think it's going to be scary. I think we're going to see that in the series, which is why I think Dallas at five. Moving on to the Canucks and the Nashville Predators. Let's start with you, Hammy, and we got 13 minutes left, guys. So we got three series, 13 minutes. Let's go.
This is my off the board. I think I have the Nashville Predators winning this one in seven games. I wanted to say six, but I'm going with seven. I don't know. I call me a moron, whatever. I'm just not buying what the Canucks are selling this year. I think it's going to be too much come the playoffs. I think that, you know, it's been a great ride. It's certainly been an incredible season out west in Western Canada. I just think they're up against a pesky, relentless Nashville team that has just been one of the hottest teams in the second half of the season. And if you look at this, you look at their season series, yes, the Vancouver Canucks are 3-0 against them, but they haven't played since like January. Or it's the first three games have been in the first half. They haven't played the Nashville Predators when they've gone on fire. I like, you know, Demko's back, which is good. I know he had a good showing in his game back. UC Saros is, for my money, is one of the best, if not the best goalie in the league. I just think he is the reason, a big reason why they are where they are. Philip Forsberg is having an unbelievable season. I have the Nashville Predators being the Cinderella story in the playoffs. They went in seven.
Scotty?
I have, and I'm going to do it because this was my, whatever you want to call it, dark horse, bold pick. I have Nashville in five here. And this, yeah, I'll tell you why. I think it, and somebody said it there, and I was going to say it. I think the real frauds in the NHL are the Vancouver Canucks. Okay. I don't think they have what it takes to win this series. And Nashville, hold on, let me get it out here before you can
keep
say
going.
Whatever you want.
Keep going. Nashville, I'll allow it.
Nashville is a team of the sum of its parts. But when you look at the sum of its parts, you realize they have some superstars on this team. Philip Forsberg has a 100-point year, basically. They have UC Saros in net. They have Roman Josi, who is going to probably not get enough heart votes when he should, but he should probably be there. And I think, and it just, this is a team that is completely different than the team that pre-sphere and post-sphere, if we want to go there. Nashville is it. And I just think Vancouver's had too of an easy of a season. And when it came push game to shove to win the best team last night, they could beat a team that had eight regulars sitting. And I get it. They didn't have JT Miller. They didn't have Brock Besser. I don't care. They had their best goalie. They had their best defenseman out there. And they couldn't beat a Jets team that was basically playing two rookies and a bunch of healthy scratches. I don't believe in Vancouver, Nashville, and five.
What do you got?
I'm also taking Nashville. I just think that it's a bit aggressive to call a team a fraud that gets 109 points. And if they get beaten by the team that's the hottest team since January, I don't know that makes them a fraud. I mean, it means they've got some learning to do and some ground to make up. But I just thought that the fraud comment was a little aggressive. But hey, that's okay. That's why we're here. Making
what do you
why
got? We're here.
Hot takes are flowing. Predators and six. Predators and six. One thing, though, guys. Juicy Saros has not been himself this year. He has not been the reason. He has been mediocre by his own standards, but he'll be great in the playoffs.
Yeah, and I love you. To your point, big, strong defenseman, Ryan McDonagh, John Cooper talks about him as though he is the second coming, rightfully so, and he's alongside Roman Josi. Good defense core here. This is an extremely balanced team, guys. All four of their lines are tough to play against. If you've watched the Jets games, that's the case. They're like the Jets. Now, they may not have the star power, but to your point, Scott Gustav Nyquist, I think that he's
sulky candidate.
A couple of games ago, Gustav Nyquist had more points per game this season than Kyle Connor did. Philip Forsberg is easily the highest scoring person in between this roster and the Winnipeg Jets roster. They do, like you're saying, have sneaky star power, and they've got a shutdown guy like Ryan O'Reilly. And then you've got guys like Anthony Beauvillier, who when he was playing with the Islanders a couple of years ago when they were a good team, is sneaky on the third line here. Mike McCarron. Aaron's a big, strong guy who makes life miserable. And you see that fourth line had a lot of success against the Jets. This is a team, one of you called them pesky earlier on. That's not giving them credit. This team has dominated down the stretch. Even when it stopped that streak of 18 straight games, points or something like that, down the stretch, this team, even when they're losing, they're dominating. The game that you saw the Jets were, you know, back up the Brinks truck and get out of town with the 2 points that you did not deserve in that game. That's how Nashville was basically losing down the stretch here. They are a dominant team. I'm entirely with Scotty. We're a sweep on this. We're a sweep on every single series except for Carolina.
He
didn't
sweep the four of us choosing him. He didn't call it a series.
I thought you were going with the sweep.
But I'm close. I'm close. I've got Nashville in five in the Vancouver Canucks. I've said it all year. I'm not changing my tune. The Nashville Predators look like the Nashville Predators every single shift of every single game. The Vancouver Canucks look like the best version of themselves for periods of a hockey game, 10-minute stretches, and then they entirely disappear. They're going to get eaten up when that happens in this series against Nashville. So all four of us have the Nashville Predators, which brings us to the
unreal
end.
Job by Andrew Burnett. Sorry.
Yeah, no. Okay, 7 minutes, guys. So we literally need to just basically give like real Cole's notes here on the Edmonton Oilers series and the LA Kings. What do you got, Hammy?
I have the Edmonton Oilers sweeping.
Yeah. Okay. Let's just leave it at that. What Kings do you got, Scott?
I have the exact same, and I don't think it's. I don't even think that's a wild thing. I don't believe in their goaltending. They just don't have it. Pierre-Luc Dubois, if he doesn't show up, it's over, right? Like, I mean, Oilers in four. I think Edmonton's a better defensive team this year than they ever have been. Bouchard's been good. Ekholm's been good. Skinner's been good. And they have the best player in the world, Edmonton in four.
Oilers in six. The Kings play them tough. The biggest benefactor of last night's series of events were the Edmonton Oilers, who, based on Sean's prediction, might actually find a way to reach the Stanley Cup final based on the path that has opened up for them with Vegas losing.
Great point there, Ken. The other than the Oilers, like if you take the top four, I think toughest teams in the West in the playoffs this year, now three of them have found their way onto the Jets side of the bracket, which means that, I mean, you only have to face two of them. And of those three teams, one of them, I'm not counting the Colorado Avalanche. So the Jets, their true test to me comes in the second round. I've got Edmonton in five. What I saw from the Oilers is when they fell short of setting the record for straight wins, what was it, 17 or something like that? They got caught at 16. I saw them noticeably take the foot off the gas pedal. My only question is this the team that can turn around and just put it back on once the playoffs come around? I think the answer is yes. I had, and I mean, we don't need to get into this, but I had the Edmonton Oilers at the beginning of the year win the cup. Nothing has changed with that. I'll say it right now at the start of these playoffs. I have the Edmonton Oilers going on and winning the Stanley Cup despite the tough paths that the West will provide. I've got Edmonton in five, and that brings us to this Jets series. Guys, we got 5 minutes to wax into this. So $1.15 each. I'm going to start with Ken. You go.
It's going to be a fabulous series. Depth kind of versus top end talent. I like the Jets goaltending being a massive differentiator. Best home ice team in the league versus the team that set the franchise record for road wins. You have the highest scoring team in the NHL in Colorado against the top best defensive team in the Jets. It's kind of irresistible force versus a movable object. Going to be a fantastic series. I am taking the Jets in six, though. You know, if I still expect the Avalanche to give them all that they can handle and then some. But I just think that the Jets star players are in a fabulous place, whether that's Mark Scheifele, whether that's Josh Morrissey, whether that's Nikolaj Ehlers, whether that's Kyle Connor, whether that's somebody like Sean Monahan. I think this team's ready to go on a magic carpet ride that is going to keep us busy for the next couple months, to be honest. So Jets in six.
Scotty?
Yeah, I also have Jets in six. I think Alexander Georgiev's the worst goalie in the playoffs at the moment, and I think the Jets will exploit that. I'm looking at Gabe Vilardi being one of the best players in this series, and I think Adam Lowry's line is going to have an adequate enough series against MacKinnon to not render him useless. Not useless is the wrong word. Render him kind of whatever. But I think the Jets just have it. I think Connor Hellebuyck knows he has a lot to prove in these playoffs, and the first big statement would be shutting down the 140-point man Nathan MacKinnon, the 100-point man Mikko Rantanen, and Cale Makar on top of that. I got Jets in six, and I think Gabe Vilardi will be the best player in this series for the Jets.
Hammy, what you got?
I think that 7-0 victory to close out the season, one of the last games of the season that mattered to, obviously the standings and home ice advantage. I don't think it's going to be easy for the Winnipeg Jets. I think it's going to be far from it for all the reasons that you guys mentioned. But I just think getting that victory and getting the three victories this year is enough of a confidence builder for Winnipeg. I think Winnipeg has been doing and saying the right things this year. They need to prove themselves. This feels like the year to stop them in the first round seems premature. I don't think it's going to be easy. I think it's going to go the full seven. And I think the Winnipeg Jets come out on top in the first round.
Okay. I don't think I need to go too deep on this. People have heard my thoughts on the podcast. I've got the Jets in five. The things that I've been saying for a long time about the Colorado Avalanche, I think we saw down the stretch here. I mean, everything that I've been talking about for months about this team, you're starting to see come to fruition. They don't have a lot of depth. As Scotty said, the goaltending is not necessarily there. They are extremely top heavy and reliant on their superstar power. And the Jets just happen to have the best superstar erasing line in the entire NHL. It doesn't bode well, because if Adam Lowry is able to erase or at least limit Nathan MacKinnon's production and some of the higher end players, I see them having no choice but to try and do the nuclear option like Edmonton always used to do with McDavid and Drysdale, putting them on the same line. I think you start getting Rantanen and MacKinnon on the same line at some point to try and get them going, which just makes it that much easier for Adam Lowry to entirely shut those guys down. The depth of this Colorado Avalanche team is non-existent. The Winnipeg Jets roster is built to beat up on the Colorado Avalanche. This series was won already by the GMs and the jobs that they did. And in this series, in my mind, Kevin Cheveldayoff has built a team that the Colorado Avalanche cannot beat. I've got Winnipeg in five in this one. Ken, you got something to say quickly before we get going?
Going to be an awesome series. Enjoy the ride, folks. Going to be awesome. Great series ahead and all across the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. Best time of the year. Let's soak it all in and enjoy it.
So, guys, we completely and utterly agree with every single series in the West. We are, I am an outlier with Toronto in the Toronto-Boston series. Ken is the outlier with the Islanders. Otherwise, everything else is pretty safe. I heard someone say something about being bold earlier on. This is maybe the safest show I've ever seen before. We should call this the homogenous playoff preview by Kenny and Rennie here, because it's... homogenous, like 3.5% milk here, guys.
Lots of coin flips out there.
Ken, Hammy, Billick, I really appreciate this. Scotty, you especially, I know some stuff's going on there. I really appreciate you carving out the time. And I know that our audience does as well. They love having you guys around. We wanted to keep this to a minute. I'm 5 seconds over right now. So let's shut this down to say thank you. We will chat with everyone on the Kenny and Rennie Show after the first game of the series, game one, coming up on Sunday. It's going to be a gooder. Thanks for joining us, everybody.